Thank you. Kiss someone before you sit down. That'll change your whole night. That's right. There's your big chance, big fella. I was going to stand close to give you the sympathy kiss. Okay, you feeling good?
Yeah.
You feeling good? Tell me what time we're out of here. No, I'm not asking the front row. They'll say, whatever you like. When do you want to go home? What about 7:30? So, all right, sounds good. I did a men's brekkie sometime somewhere. I'll just tell you, if you're visiting, maybe you don't come every week. It's your first time. Promise you, come next week. It'll be good next week. All right. Don't judge it on me because I'm not from here. All right. So give it another chance. I did a breakfast up in Toowoomba, just to help you understand what happens. Did a breakfast in Toowoomba. That's south of Brisbane. It's south of Cairns. It's west of Brisbane, about 100 k's-ish. All right. And I get there and it's a Saturday morning. And they get up and do worship at the men's breakfast. Well, I'm not against that. That's cool. But they go for about 50 minutes. You know, I don't mind that. It's cool. I'm into it. But we've got blokes who brought, you know, their bikie mates and all the rest of it. You know, you've got to consider everyone else there, not just you, you know. And then I haven't got a hassle, but I get up at about 8:45. Started at 7:30. And so I say, so what time are we finishing? And the pastor yells out, what did the pastor yell out? Whenever you want. I said, I'm not even going to ask you, mate, because there's a guy sitting right in front of me with a Jim's mowing shirt on. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not sure he wants to say, whenever you want. So I said, not you. You only work one day a week, I said. So let's ask this bloke. Looks like you got to go somewhere, mate. What time you got to go? He said, I was told 9. Said, I'll be done in 7.5 minutes. So it's cool. I like it. Can I talk to you about this? Because here's the deal. When you come, I want to preach 20 things. Now, the truth is, you can go to some churches, there's only one thing to preach because their soil's not fertile. You know, listen to what I'm saying. Honestly, I used to be worried. I thought it was me. But sometimes you go to a church and it's just so like the soil, you could grow anything in it. And so I've worked out, sometimes I'm in my room and 20 things just keep coming and I can't work out. That's almost because it doesn't matter what you do, it's going to work. This is so fertile, mate. Anything could grow here. How's that feel? Pretty way to sort of pass off the fact I haven't got a clue, eh? No, but here's the real truth. So you bring this. Now, I can tell you, in the book of Acts chapter 20, who's in church? Who knows Acts 20? Okay, what happens in Acts 20? It says Paul preached till midnight. You know why? Because he was leaving tomorrow. Hey, guess when I'm leaving? Well, if I'm going to be what the Bible says, I'm here till midnight. Sorry. Exactly. Well, that's the deal. See, he preached so long, some joker fell asleep and fell out the window, died. Kaboompa, down on the... It says, look in Acts 20, Eutychus was... He fell 3 stories to his death. You would do it, you fell 3 stories. But, you know, so I thought about that. Well, why did Paul do that? It was because he just had... It's like you. I just get the feeling the church... He probably went there with one sermon, but they milked him because it was like they just were hungry. And he figured, well, I'm going tomorrow. I mean, I got to... Well, I brought CDs instead. That's what I'm really trying to tell you. Here's the choice. We go home at midnight or you get a CD and we go home early. So that... Who's for the CDs? All right, that's cool. Who's for midnight? All right, we'll go for the CDs. There's a series here called Confidence because I got 7 sisters.
They're older, aren't they?
Some are. Forget about old. Let's just talk about facial hair because they've all got it. They shave 4 times a day, this lot of mine. I call one of them Rapunzel. I mean, these are the sisters you don't want to introduce to your sons, I'm telling you. Anyway, they're cool. They're good people. They're all married. And suckers! I got Joanne, Jan, Jackie, Susan, Beth, Julie, Judy. 7 of them. Yeah, all about Jays. It's all about Jay. Mel, hey, Mel, the good news is I got Phil, David, Andrew, Richard. But they're all married, unfortunately. But I've got Andy. So talk to me later. Okay. So I've got four brothers as well. So all I'm saying is, you know, I grew up dog eat dog. So, but what I've learned is I used to pray, you know, Lord, give this man confidence. You might as well, Lord, give this man nostrils. Well, that would be stupid, wouldn't it? Because he's got them. Or say, give this man muscles. You can't pray for muscles. You've got them. You've got to develop them. You've got confidence. You just got to develop it. You've already got it. So you can't go and get it. You got it. You got to develop it. And so that's what that's about. This is about going to the next level. Okay? That's what that's about. Real and simple. Think of a subject. Marriage. Who thinks your marriage could go for another level? Absolutely. I reckon it. I've been married 31 years, but there's still more, mate. I still haven't got a clue who she is. Someone said to me, how does your marriage survive with all your travelling? Should ask, ring my wife right now. I bet she says this weekend's perfect. Pretty good, eh? Anyway, I've been married 31 years. 30, well, say that slow. Oh, 31 years. Went to the Caribbean a month and a half ago, though, for my 30th wedding anniversary. Oh, mate, talk about packing one pair of leopard skin budgies. Put your hand up if you say, that's too much information. Well, let me tell you something. It was enough wardrobe. Stop it. Don't. Anyway, that's not true. I didn't take that. I did go to the Caribbean, though. Fantastic. And this is called My Pain, Your Gain, because I am one of 12 kids. Dad left when I was a kid. You know, if I was 20, you'd think, oh, what would he know? But I'm 50. So 49. All right. 10th of May, 61. Write it down. Send me a card with a check. All right. At 49, you know, come put your hand if you're over 40. Well, don't, but don't you do it, ladies. But you know what I mean? It's just, when someone 20 says life's been tough, yeah, all right, maybe. But when someone's 50, did you ever hear someone say life's not fair? Life is fair, beats us all up. Have you noticed that? It didn't miss anybody. By the time you get to 50, even if you had a cakewalk till you're 30, by the time you get to 50, something has beat you up. So life is the fairest thing you'll ever find. And so understand the context. It's from someone my age. And it's simply my pain, your gain. Just three key lessons I've learned that I think will help. And one's about money. And, you know, Mel, not money per se, but just how to be blessed. I don't make apologies for being blessed. Pastor Dave, if you point a hose, connect a hose to a tap, point it at a garden to grow a tree, and you turn the tap on, does the tree get blessed? Does the tree get wet? Does the hose stay dry? You can't water a tree without wetting a hose. I'm just a hose, mate. Do you hear me? I'm just a hose. Are you listening to me? Don't listen to him. Listen to me. See, some people try to think, oh, no, it's all about Jesus. Yes, it is, but if you wet the garden, the hose gets wet. So I refuse to apologize because God's blessing my life. So I just want to tell you about it. But I'm one of 12 kids. I never had a house worth buying until I got married. And so God's blessed me. God's done good things for me. And, you know, I'm not an extravagant guy. I've only got 5 motorbikes, all right? So, you know, there's more to do. I've only got 3 cars and only 1 ski boat. But so there's a lot more to do. But anyway, there's a couple of other things on there. Let's talk to you. I want to just say this as well, one last thing. This is a cell phone. Oh, sorry, that's New Zealand. This is a mobile. I was in Hamilton, New Zealand last year, so I was talking Kiwi. Cell phones, chili bins. All right, so it's a cell phone. You got one? Stand up here tonight. If when you wanted to get one of these, you went into a shop, Optus shop, Vodafone shop, whatever, said, excuse me, I'm really in the market for a mobile. You got 10 manuals I can take home to read? Put your hand if you did that. You didn't touch them because you want to read the manual first. No one does that, for crying out loud. You go in and you want to touch it. You want to get involved with it. All right? You want to get connected. That's the first thing, mate. Is the manual important? Of course the manual's important. And soon enough, you'll get to be reading the manual. But I meet people that don't want to connect to God because they don't know enough. Mate, you're never going to know about this till you connect. So I'm going to ask you at the end of the service if you need to be connected to God. Like, is it Harris? Yeah. Like Harris, man, that was spunk. That was fair dinkum stuff, Harris. I really appreciate that. That was fantastic. All right. So I'm just going to ask you if you need to be connected to God. Maybe you used to be, but you're not now. So it'll be honesty time. Don't even know what you think about it now. But I'll ask you at the end. And now, so I've referred to the manual many times now that I am connected. In fact, the manual makes sense now that I've connected. You know? Because things appear on the screen that if you just read the manual, you don't even know what they mean. It's only after you get connected that the manual makes sense. So this is the manual. You have no idea how much this is going to make sense once you connect to Jesus. So I'm going to ask you. All right, I'll just ask you. Pastor, it's all right if I don't get him to stand up or walk out and get on the bus and go 8 weeks to a camp on a farm and get an orange jacket?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to help you. That's not the deal. I'm not even going to ask you to stand up. I'll ask you to raise your hand. I'll probably ask everyone else to close their eyes. Simply, so I want you to feel acknowledged. So if you raise your hand, I'll be able to say, I see your hand. And I won't say, I see your hand, fourth row, black shirt. That's not the deal. I just want you to feel acknowledged. You've been ignored long enough. I want you to feel acknowledged. I'll ask you. I want to talk to you tonight. I was in Switzerland last year. And now that sounds la-di-da. Tell your neighbour, say, oh, please, that's a little brag of this guy, la-di-da. No, I'm actually a killjoy when you travel. You don't want to travel with me. Because you say, oh, Switzerland. I say, it's grass. We got grass. So I'm hopeless when we travel. All right, I just see the same stuff we see everywhere. It's flipping water. Well, who's been to Denmark? Anyone who's been to Copenhagen? Well, we say Copenhagen, but it's Copenhagen. No one's been there. Oh, man, I went there once. Oh, man, you've got to see the Little Mermaid. She is a Little Mermaid. She's got chicken poo all over her. The pigeons pay her no respect at all. So I've been to some of these incredibly iconic things apparently all over the world. And so I'm a killjoy. You go places like that with me, like the Caribbean. The Caribbean, it was about 55 degrees. I couldn't get back on the boat quick enough to the air conditioning. It was just dirty streets and diamond cellars. I hope I haven't wrecked your plans. So I'm not bragging. So I was in Switzerland. I was in Zurich. And I got on a train up to Bern and then dragged 40 kilos of bags up 18 flights of stairs to get on another train up to Geneva, where I had to get on EasyJet, that doesn't have seat numbers. That's a bun fight. Had to pay €160 for my extra luggage. So I take the fun out of travel, I can promise you. But let's go back to the trains. I was on the M6 in Scotland last October. Anyone been to Scotland? Okay. Have you been to Scotland? Where you been?
I can't remember, I was 12.
Oh, anyone here from Scotland?
Nearly.
Say again?
Nearly.
Where you from?
Manchester.
Oh, fantastic. I was in Manchester two nights in May. Fantastic. Yeah, I went to Old Trafford? The Trafford Centre. Yeah, went to the Trafford Centre, mate. Went to the pictures. I saw that movie with the nanny, McPhee. Man, I'm out there, aren't I? I'm out there. Went to see Nanny McPhee at the Trafford Centre. So understand, I'm telling the truth. You don't want to travel with me, mate. I am boring. I was on the M6. The M6 comes out of Glasgow, down through the back, Carlisle, is that right? Down all through there to Birmingham. And but in Scotland, I'm looking at the boys and girls who've been to Scotland. It's fantastic because it's so different to here because there's no trees. You know, it's just rolling. It wasn't green because they'd had blizzards. It was just the wrong time of year. There was no heather. It's ruggedly majestic. But then comes the Virgin train. That thing's fantastic. The bullet train. It's doing about, I was doing this in Switzerland the year before, but it's doing like about 100 miles an hour. And guess what? So am I. I'm in my hired, what was it? A Vauxhall Corsa. We would call that a Holden Barina. And I'm doing 100 miles. The speed limit's 70, but it seems like everyone does 100, so I just keep up. All right. I just keep up. But this train, the truth is, I'm probably doing about 85, touching 90. So the train sort of, and the train, if you know it, the track, it's pretty well right near the road, you know, and it just keeps weaving. You lose it, then it comes back. And so it's like, if you're a man, you understand this. Everything's a competition. So I'm just seeing, you know, I'm in line with the second carriage. Then it disappears through a mountain. Then we come back. Oh, I'm in line with the second carriage back half. You know, and so for about 15, 25 minutes, we've got this till finally, you know, I can't, because he can just keep going. I mean, you don't have to. So eventually I just see him. But it's like 25, 35 minutes. We just keep seeing each other as he finally gets away. And now I sort of was probably sort of interested in it, because the year before I'd been on the same sort of train, but in Switzerland. And I mean, this thing's like doing 100 miles an hour. And yet inside, your coffee doesn't spill. I'm serious. The way they build these things, the air cushioning, the air conditioning, it's just awesome stuff. And the little fella comes through with the tray, you know, selling your stuff. It's cool. Well, unless you're in first class, it's complimentary, but I wasn't in there. And then, you know, it's all fantastic. So I went home and did a bit of study about trains. Just say to your neighbour, that was a heck of a long way around to get to that comment, mate. And I discovered something. Do you know how wide the tracks are? That thing? I don't know how confident you're going to feel about this. Do you know how wide the track is? It's 4'8½". Did you preach my message this morning? 4'8½". 4'8½". Just listen to me. 4'8½". And I'll tell you why it's 4'8½". Because the British people built the trains. In America, it's 4'8½". In Australia, it's 4'8½". In Germany, it's 4'8½". Through Asia, it's 4'8½". All over the world, it's 4'8½". And the reason it's 4'8½", which is a stupid thing, it's a stupid, stupid distance. The reason it's 4'8½" is because the British built it in America. But we ask, well, what the flip did they build it 4'8½" for? Well, that's easy too, because the steam trains used to be 4'8½", and they built them in the same factories. But you've got to ask, why the flip did they build the steam trains 4'8½"? Well, that's easy too, because the trolley things they built in there before the steam trains were 4'8½". And you've got to ask yourself a question, why on earth would you build a trolley with a track 4'8½"? Well, that's easy, mate, because the highways had ruts in them that were 4'8½". So, I mean, if the ruts in the highways are 4'8½", you've got to build your trolleys to run 4'8½". But why the flip would the highways be 4'8½" with ruts? Well, it's because it all came out of Rome from the Roman Empire. And their highways were 4'8½". So if you built your 3'6", you'd be driving like that. So it's sort of just the ultimate lesson on conformity. So the question is, why did the Romans build them 4'8½"? Well, that's the distance between the wheels of a Roman war chariot. They are 4'8½". But then it's the ultimate question, why did the Romans, who started the ruts, who built the trolleys, who built the steam trains, who built the British trains, who then exported it with expats all over the world and built all the other, why the heck, I was going to say another word then, why did they do them 4'8½", which is the dickiest measurement in all the world? And the answer is, it was the width of a Roman war horse's bottom. Times two. Now, this isn't school. We're not asking questions. But listen to me carefully. So the Romans, who built the technology on two horses' bottoms. I mean, I don't know how much confidence now you're going to have in doing 100 miles an hour in a bullet train, knowing that this has all been tested on the width of two horses' bottoms. The next time you're having coffee in your air-conditioned coach, doing 100 miles an hour, you can say, it's going to be all right, love. This is all about two horses' bottoms, mate. But there's a better lesson than that. Here's the better lesson. Sometimes things change all on the top, but the foundations don't. And that's my point tonight. Up here tonight, what have we got? We've got the flipping screen. We've got lights. We've got electric. We don't even call that a piano. It's a keyboard. It's a keyboard. It's an overhead projector. 20 years ago before that, when Dave was in sort of just youth, it was a flannel board with people changing the letters for the songs really quick. The bloke who used to do that now works at the Adelaide Cricket Ground doing the scoreboard. But what I've found is there's a lot of things that change, but there's just some things that don't. And that's what I want to finish. And I'm not going to talk for long tonight. This is what I want to finish. And where's the young lady gone who's you on the board? Come down here, please, if it's all right. I don't know why a board member would be sitting in the back row for that's my take on things. But she's the service manager security. Thank you, Mel, for protecting her. Thank you. Yeah, sit there. Yeah, yeah. No, let me. What's your name again?
Jennifer.
Hold these, please, Mel. Thank you. That's 15, 15, 20. Thank you. Yes, just give you money there later. So what's your name again?
Jennifer,
you are the board member.
One of them.
No, just keep this real simple. You're a board member.
Yes.
Okay, and what did you just do? What's the thing you just did? No need for that.
Other than sitting here.
No, what did you just do? What did you come get the certificate for?
Oh, for Christian Essentials.
Well, you see, and then Pastor Dave, I noticed, went in to help us understand that just because you've been a Christian a long time, sometimes it's still good. See, I don't care how long you have your car. Sometimes you just got to take it back for wheel alignment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just feel sometimes we're looking for a brand new way for doing things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people complicate Christianity because, like Paul said, you stupid Galatians.
Yeah.
Now, what are you? You idiots or what? Now, we don't talk like that, but you'd like to. It's one of the good things of not being a pastor of a church anymore. You're only there once, so you say what you like. This could be the smartest person in Hobart that I'm talking to right now. This could be the smartest person in the whole state. Because even though I would assume being a board member, you've been a Christian maybe more than three, four, 5 years.
Yeah, 20.
20? 30-something years. And yet she's never forgot that however classy it gets on top, it's still horses' backsides. You can sit wherever you like. You don't have to stay there. All right, you go back up. Yes, of course. You're. I want. This is it. We're done. We're done in. Well, don't believe that. 35 years ago, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. 35 years ago, on August the 31st, 1975, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. I was 14. I come and stood at the front of the church. Not this church, but, you know, in metaphor type, exactly the same as this. I come stood at the front here. And they led me in a prayer. They said, you've come to give your heart to Jesus. I said, that's a good thing. Harris came to give his heart to Jesus a couple of months ago at the youth. And someone might have said it to him. It's a good thing you've done. And he said it tonight. It's a good thing. And I stood there. And you know what? This is what they said to me. I don't know if they said it to you, but they said it to me. They looked at me and they prayed for me and then said, Steve, and there were others, but they said, Steve, you know, and you guys, but I took it personally. So, Steve, if you're going to really make this Christian life work, not just today, but through the years, we might change from flannel graph to overhead projector. Yea, verily, I can prophesy there'll be a digital era sometime. But no matter what changes up there, these three things are important. I'm taking you back to that spot where you were. You might not have been here, might have been in your bedroom, might have been in a school class, but I'm taking you back to there. There's lots of us were told those same three things. I haven't rehearsed this. I haven't come talk to you, but I'm about to put this to the test because I think pretty well lots of us were told the same three things. So what was the first thing they told us to do? You might, if you're going to make this work, you're going to have to, you said pray?
I was going to say read the Bible.
Okay, read the Bible. Let's start there. They said, read the Bible. That's what they said. They said, you need to read the Word. I'm telling you. By the way, I'm going to upscale it. See, a new level is often not new. It's just a fresh grip on something age old.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Can I say that again? See, because we're always looking for a new thing. What's the new thing? How am I going to get my Christianity? You know, no, I did that. That was 30 years ago. Well, I did essentials. Yeah, we've got one smart lady in the whole room realizes it doesn't matter if it's 30 years. It don't change, mate. I'm meeting Christians all the time that want a new deal. The woman that rang me in the middle of the night that said, I want to leave my husband. Will God forgive me? Well, when did the Bible change, mate? So the Bible's different to what it used to be. See, I just want to know if God will forgive me because I'd like to meet a nice man sometime. She's on the phone. I don't know who she is. She doesn't know who I am. So I said, can I ask you an honest question? She said, you might as well. I said, do you know, have anyone in mind? She said, well, actually, whew, that's tough. Yeah, I do. I said, well, you're a twit. She just thought maybe what was old had a use-by date. Now there's something new.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, 35 years ago when I stood here, they said it'd be good if you read the Bible. I just want to upscale that without changing it and say, not read it, know it. John 8:32 says, if you know the truth will set. See, one lady went home already tonight and probably had to catch a plane. And you got to go when you got to go. But I want you to get this, because this is the most uncomplicated message, bar the one Pastor Dave preached this morning, that you will hear in your whole life. This will save your bacon, mate. Now, I said to this lady, hang on, let me see if I got this right. I said, are you a Christian? She says, yeah, I've been a Christian a long time. I said, well, what do you think? Something's changed from when you started this. She said, I want to know if God will forgive me. Well, when does the Bible ever say God wouldn't? You see? The truth is, she could get a new husband six times over and God would forgive her. I said, that's not the question. Because the Bible's always said God will forgive. See, I've just messed with your head because some of you thought he wouldn't. No, he will. That's the funny thing. He will. She's asked the wrong question. The question for me would be, will you ask? Because the same Bible that says God will always forgive says sin separates from God. So will you be close enough to God to even ask him? That's the danger.
That's good, Steve.
Yeah. When I stood here 35 years ago, they said, Steve, if you want this to work for the next 30 years, it's been 35 for me so far, if you want this to work to 50 years, here's the deal, guys. You're going to need to read the Word.
Yeah.
Just read the Word.
Good.
And so I just want to upscale from reading the Word to say knowing the Word. Pastor Dave, I'm not here to mess with current practice, but I'm not a big fan of the Bible reading programs. I'm not a big fan of it. I'll tell you why I'm not a big fan of it, because I think the goalpost shifted. The goalpost shifted, now I've got to read the Bible. No, the Bible doesn't say to read it, the Bible says to know it. So I'd rather you read two verses and could memorize them and keep them for life than read 10 chapters today and not know squat tomorrow.
That's true.
You know, well, I read the whole Bible in a year. Oh, good for you. Quote me a verse from Mark. Oh, gee, you wasted your time, mate. I had a woman come up to me in a meeting last year. This is her. I've seen that. Look, I've got seven sisters. Come on. Pastor Kev, I've got three daughters, seven sisters, one granddaughter, a wife of 31 years, and my mother lives at my house. Now you know why I travel. You get it? So she's a... So I said, g'day, mate, can I help you? And this is what she said. I wasn't here for all of your sermon. That's what I heard first. I logged that. But I only heard you use two scriptures. I said, oh, gee, that's a shame. But you weren't here for the whole thing. I said, well, what were they? She said, I can't remember. I'm thinking it was too many for you then. She'd never make it in a court of law, would she? You know, I have a really good piece of evidence, but I just can't remember it. So I said, excuse me, I don't want to talk to you anymore. She said, you don't like conflict, do you? I said, are you serious? Do you know my family? Take a ticket. I'm big on knowing the Word. And all I'm just knowing is, man, come on. We've gone from chariots to carts to trolleys to steam to electric to air-conditioned comfort, but it's still two horses' backsides, mate. That bit doesn't change. It was the Word in the beginning, and it's the Word now.
Yeah, good stuff. Right.
And if we've got to see, we all talk about revival. We always think revival's out there. The revival we need is to just get back to knowing that if we read the Word, we'll find out God loves us. God loves us. You get confused, go to the Word, and you'll get clear. You feel like no one likes you, go to the Word, and you'll realize you're loved beyond all else. You wonder if you're valuable, go to the Word, you'll realize that he gave his only son because you were so special. It's all still there. It hasn't changed. Oh, I took it all in 35 years ago. I was 14. Took it all in. Oh, I got to get to know the word. What else do they tell us? They tell us to pray. Some of us aren't doing that now. No word of knowledge. Well, it is a word of knowledge, but it's not a spiritual word of knowledge. I don't know who you are. God's not going to tell me, so relax. But I just want to tell you, prayer was good then.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, prayer's good now.
Yeah,
we might pray different. We journal. I don't care how you do it. Just do it.
Yeah.
I don't care if you talk to God or pray or intercede. Call it what you want, mate. Just connect to God.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? They used to call it a chariot. Then it was a trolley. So I don't care if it was on your knees. Now it's prostate. I don't care. Prostrate. When you get to my age, you get used to that word. Woo! I'm telling you, I could get in a sweat thinking about it. Oh, dear, dear. Whew, that's an uncomfortable thought. But you get the deal? Harris, you prayed and asked Jesus into your heart. But prayer's going to work for the next 50 years, mate. There's not another plan after you've been a Christian a year. You foolish Galatians. You foolish Galatians. How come you started this thing in the spirit and now you think you're going to work it out because you're clever?
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
I've been a Christian 35 years, man alive. I just feel so dependent on prayer now like I never ever did. I just think, God, I am stuffed. Is that okay? I am sunk. No, I'm not technical. You've worked that out. I'm not technical. You know, I don't care if you pray or you talk to God or you chat to the big man up. Do whatever you can get away with. This is me. I'm out skiing with my boy a while back this year, January, February, sometime. I'm there, and he's got his son, Robert, with him. Robert's dad is a... We got a doctor here? His dad is a bottom surgeon. That's a crack up. Now, apparently you go to him when you've wrecked him. Wipe that one. Okay, so I'm here. I'm up here. I'm just out. I'm out under the stars. It's in the bush up at Somerset Dam, if you know Queensland. And so I say this to Robert, and I'm not Bible bashing. I don't Bible bash other people's children. But you know who you are comes out. I didn't. You know, it wasn't like I had to find this language. It's us. I was just in awe because. In a city of 2 million, which Brisbane is these days, there's too much ambient light, so you don't see the stars. So you go an hour and a half west, and it's just like the wonder of God. And so I was a bit taken. I just went, and I just looked up and said, Flip, Robert, look at the stars, mate. And I just said, to think God made them all. Maybe I forgot he was my son's friend from school, you know, because. But I just said, mate, and I think God made them all. And I'm still just sort of taking all that in. And I hear Robert's voice. I just hear Robert say, I don't believe in God, Mr. Kennedy. And, you know, I wasn't startled. It was not a hassle. I didn't get the garlic out. It was no big deal, you know. He's not from a Christian family. He wouldn't have come into contact with it. But I just said, oh, cool, Robert. Because he obviously appreciated, you know, the artwork. The canvas. So I said, well, Robert, what's your take on it, mate? Who do you reckon made all that? He said, Mr. Kennedy, I think someone really intelligent made it. You know what's sad about that? I know Christians that would have sat him down and taught him the seven Hebrew names of God. I chose not to do that. I just laughed like you did, I know, Robert. That's so cool. I said, here's the deal, this is what I would think, Robert. I don't think he cares whether you call him God or someone really intelligent. You get the deal? I mean, you can call me Steve or handsome, I don't care. Both true. So I'm not a technical person, so pray. But if prayer's a hassle, just talk to God. When you get over 40, silver on silver is a stupid idea. So we got a couple of minutes. We got one more after this. You already know what the third one is, because some of you stood here. So we'll get to it. But I'm in the car with my boy Andy. He's 7, and his mate Naomi, she's about 8. We're in the car together. We're driving some, and I can see him talking. You know, so he's 16 now, so I'm whatever. I can't think. Let's just say I'm 35. So I'm about 35. He's young. Hear them. And I see him talking like this, you know. And I'm thinking, rearview mirror thing, you know, what are you doing? I said, nothing. And they keep talking until they're in conference. Till finally, she's nodding like this, and he's thinking, she's going, and I said, what are you two doing? And then they spill the beans. And Andy says, Dad, we're just wondering, do you know everything? Come on, who's a parent? I mean, it's an easy place to feel like a failure, isn't it, being a parent? So this is a chance for a win, methinks. So I just said, of course I do, you know. And that really, Pastor Dave, they went to each other. They went. And so I said, no, serious. Ask me anything. Just ask me anything. So they just went straight into conference. I said, make sure it's hard. So they really, and she comes up with something, and he says, that's not hard enough. And then they talk a bit more to, you know, confab back and forth, till finally they feel, got it. Now, try and understand. I'm not trying to make a bigger deal of this than it is, but I want to share a metaphor with you. They have gone from the east to the west to the north to the south of every complex situation their path has taken them to find the question to stump the sage. And I've invited them to do it. I figured that my history of experience will outweigh theirs should they choose to communicate with me. You're picking up the metaphor, some of you already. Now, the parity between them and me is only 25 to 30 years. And yet I'm confident that my history will trump. My history at call will trump their investigative complexities. I feel confident. So I say, have you got the hardest question you can think of? And they say, yes. And so the 7-year-old turns to the 9-year-old and say, you tell him. So Naomi says, how far is the moon? That was the biggest challenge they could find. I said 400,000 kilometres from Earth, 250,000 miles in Imperial. I added the Imperial. They didn't know what that was, but it sounded very clever. Now, they probably learned that in school that week and thought he wouldn't know that. Look at him. But when I said that, they just looked at each other and went. They had no more questions. I had just put them in a place of confidence they had never, ever known. Do you know where I'm going with this? Can you see where I'm going with this? So what are you, 57?
Oh, come on, kid.
No, born in 57. Is that a good comeback? Good comeback?
Don't try that.
You don't have to be ugly and stupid. I went for ugly. Okay. So. But you hear, you're 54 years old. Now, I'm making this bit up. This is just more. You've been saved 40 years. You're 54. So now you're so smart, you don't talk to God anymore because you know now. He's a billion. He's a billion. So what, your business complexity is too big for God. He's a billion, mate. Go to the north of your problems. I get hurt for Christians because I'm sure they prayed at the start. But now they feel like, I've been to Bible college, so now I've got to be my own saviour. It's tricky. It's subtle. Yeah. But God wouldn't want to be doing that for me. You know, I got to work that out. Buddy, I don't care if it's an air-conditioned cab. I don't care if they're serving coffee and liqueurs. It's still two horses' bums, mate. It was prayer then. It's prayer now. Talk to Jesus. When I stood at the front 35 years ago, they said, be good if you read the word, Steve. That's going to help you. It's going to be good if you pray, mate. And they said one other thing. Most of you will probably pick this up because you studied too. There's a third thing you should do. What was that? Go to church. You say, mean we come out for this? Well, if you said that, you really needed to. Mm. Yeah, that's it, mate.
Very good.
Hebrews 10:25. Forsake not the gathering together of the believers, as the habit of some has become. But do it all the more in this day. Yeah. I'm telling you, this is a safe house. I don't know who the single mums are here, but I'm telling you, I grew up in a single mum's family. This is the place you want to be.
Mm. Very good. It's good.
You want to know where to have your worst day in the world? This is the best place to have your worst day.
Yeah, very good.
Acts 20. What do we hear about Eutychus in Acts 20? Fell out the window at church. Was Eutychus having a bad day? Well, let's step back a bit here. Why is he sitting in the windowsill? Because he's got a haphazard. Because he's got a haphazard relationship. Because if you're sharp, you're on the front row. I'm talking metaphoric. You know, we're all on the front row tonight. No, I'm not trying to be nasty to anyone. But is it fair to say, you know, the front row is like that's a metaphor for you're out there, you're perky. The windowsill at the back, you're probably a bit lackadaisy.
Yeah.
So I'm not thinking he's having the best day he's ever had. Not only that, we've got the world's greatest preacher on tonight. I mean, T.D. Jakes is in the house. But old Eutychus has a haphazard attitude. He's whistling at girls out the window. He's probably leaned over to you, and he poop, fell out. Fell asleep, fell out. So he's not having a good day. Is that cool? All right, so what happened? It says, correct me if I'm wrong, if you know the text, Acts 20, it says he fell to his death. Is that right?
Mm.
Question. This is for the smart people. Who wrote the book of Acts? Who penned it? I mean, the Holy Spirit wrote it, but who penned it? Luke's profession is?
Doctor.
So Luke is a doctor, a medical physician. When a medical... See, if Peter had said he'd fallen to his death, a bit of evangelism going on here. Make it dramatic so then when he's resurrected... No, we're talking about a doctor. When a doctor says you're dead, you're probably dead. Not a fisherman trying to get a story for the front cover of a magazine. A physician said, and he's had to think about it, he's written this afterwards, he fell to his death. That's a bad day. But where did he have his bad day? In the good place. So Paul raced down and says, you read it, Acts 20, he's all right. Is there a lie going on here? No. See, miracles happen in the house.
Yeah, very good.
There's faith in the house.
Yeah.
My mother had 11 kids at home when Dad left. So she camped us in the church. If I went through all my brothers and sisters, my eldest sister's a social worker. My next sister's a child advocate. My next sister is one of the most decorated nurses in Queensland. My next brother works for the national president, Wayne Alcorn, in his city care program. The next sister is a trained counsellor, works in that city care program. It's a church of 4,000 in a city care program. The next brother's a pastor. The next brother's talking to you right now. The next sister is one of the most decorated nurses in Queensland. Two of them. She's just applied for the job as absolute chief of nursing for the Princess Alexandra Hospital in Queensland. She graduated uni when she was 40 and ducked Australia. The next sister pastors a church. The next brother's a senior sergeant detective that works for the Child Protection Agency. Seriously, seriously heavy guy that chases seriously bad people to keep you and your kids safe. The next brother works for Wayne Alcorn in the city care program, teaching people computer and owns a super geek franchise. And the next sister's in England at the moment with a whole bunch of kids, touch football teams, playing for Australian schoolgirls. Ask a social worker if that happens to a single mum's family.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't care how classy it gets through the years, it's still two horses' bottoms, mate. So 35 years later, Pastor Kev, 35 years later, I'm finding it's the same thing. So let me say to you what they said to me that I have not found a better answer for in 35 years so far. If you want to make Christianity work for you, read the word, know the word, pray, connect with God. Let's stop saying go to church, build a church.
Yeah, good.
See, it's just the next level of the old age-old truth. So now we're not reading, we're knowing. Now we're not just praying, we're connecting. And now we're not just going, we're building. And I'll come back in 10 years, Harris, you'll be on the front row as one of the board members if you do these things. You don't just pray, read the Bible, go to church for the first 2 years, then you're so smart you've got to be your own saviour.
Yeah, very good.
You can be 60, you can have a master's in theology, but Matthew 11:28 is still a verse for you. Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Because some of you are going through some real tough stuff. And you think, but I'm a mature Christian. Yeah, but he's still a billion years old, mate. He saw Joan of Arc burn at the stake. He wrote a few lessons from that. He saw the Berlin Wall fall down, but he saw the walls of Jericho fall down a couple of thousand years before that. He wasn't surprised at Berlin. He'd seen it before. He's got some things he can help you with. Let me pray for you. Where's my old buddy up here? Is that all right? That's the worst tattoo I've ever seen in my life, mate. You remind me of that guy in Wild Hogs with the apple. Have you seen that guy? You know? I got a tat. And it's the apple sign. I like it, actually. Are you married? I got a daughter, mate. I do have a daughter. I got one. In fact, she's the only one I got left. The others are married, so you get to get in quick. The red light's flashing. Oh, no, the red light is not flashing. Look out. No, that's not. Take that off the tape. Not good. Time's up. And so just bow your head. I want to ask, I did tell you I was going to ask this question, so no surprises. And we joked around it before, but seriously, we don't want you to leave the room. We don't want you to quit your job. We don't want you to go take all your money out the bank and, you know, send it to India. What God asks you to do as you fall in, you know, get connected to him, you know, who knows? But all I'm asking you is, are you connected to God? Like a tow ball and a trailer. You know, that distinct clunk, that distinct... The trailer can now reach its destiny because it's connected to the parent vehicle. I just want to know if you're connected to God. If you're not, I'll ask you. 30 seconds from now, I'll just ask you. I'll ask you them to bow their heads so you can have some anonymity. And I'll ask you simply to raise your hand. If I see your hand up, I'm going to say, I saw your hand, put it down. So I just want you to feel acknowledged. Maybe you used to be connected to God, but you're not anymore. Maybe you just don't know, but you'll let me pray for you. Where are you sitting? I'll stay here, you stay there. But I'd like to acknowledge you and pray. Would you look at me right now if I can pray for you? And if you look at me, just raise your hand. I'll say, put it down if I see it, but I'd like to pray. Just look at me and raise your hand. And say, I'd like to be connected to God. Just look at me and raise your hand. Maybe you used to be, but you're not anymore. Maybe you never were. Just look at me and raise your hand. I'd like to pray for you. Right where you are. God bless you, sir. I'll pray for you. Yeah, for sure. Someone else, just look at me. Raise your hand. Thanks for being patient. I should have seen that quicker. Someone else, just look at me. Raise your hand. God bless you, buddy. I'll pray for you. Sir, I'll pray for you. Yeah, you put your hand down. Thank you. I'll acknowledge you as soon as you get your hand up. I just want you to feel like, yep, I got seen. Now, God already saw you, but I just want you to get that sense of that. Is there someone else before I pray? God, I pray for this gentleman. I pray for this gentleman. I pray for this gentleman. I pray for the Holy Ghost. I pray for the Spirit of God, the love of God to come to their heart. I believe if they raise their hand, it's almost like their hand is the hinge to the door of their heart. I believe their heart's open. I pray for the love of God to come, the forgiveness of God to come, that the God I've got to pray to tonight as a Christian of 35 years is the God that'll love them tonight. I ask you to do this, Lord. Come to them because of your love for them. Listen to this bit. I'm talking to God, but I'm making a commitment to God on our behalf. God, as the church, we want to do our best to care for these people. So as they identify themselves to their friends, as saying, I connected to God, Lord, we want to commit to being good to them, to blessing them, being nice to them. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I want to ask just one other thing. If you're a Christian, but you got a challenge, you're just going through a challenge. And I this isn't quite the right words, but, you know, if even there was a hint of I'm supposed to be smarter than this, or, you know, you know it's like that I got to be my own saviour type of thing. I just want to ask you to put your hand up as an indication all over again that God, I'm a little kid, you're my saviour. I did that this morning. I did it yesterday morning. I'll do it tomorrow morning. I commit my life to Jesus. I say, Jesus, it's Stevie. I just want to commit my life to you today. I just don't want to get ahead of myself and think I'm all smart now because I know how to button my shirt up right. I still need the King of Kings. Is there someone that needs to... God bless you, buddy. God bless you. God bless you, yeah. Yeah. God bless you. You're putting that up to God. I'm not really needing to see it. I just... You can still be his little girl. You can still be his favorite kid. Even if you're 60. Even if you've been a Christian 30 years. Amen. 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 All right, look, can we sing a... Have we got a party song?